This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Nick, put some pants on, dude.
We can't be doing this again.
Dude, the last time we were on this show, you were just really risking it all out
there. We have cameras this time.
I know.
We have cameras this time.
Okay, sorry.
Check it out.
They're kind of short. They're
khaki shorts.
Right. I saw a lot of leg. I wasn't sure. Welcome in to 5-on-3, WFUV's podcast for everything NHL and beyond. I am Jack Warner. I'm joined by Nick Palmer, as I very much just mentioned. He's wearing Thank you. He's wearing his New York Islanders Stadium Series sweatshirt. By the way, who won that game? I don't think I was there.
Hey, Brian. How's it going?
Why did you do that? I didn't even get to introduce him.
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay, but then at least let me properly introduce the guy. We have a very, very, very special guest. And I mean, I feel like I get to host debuts all the time, and I have to keep finding a new way to do it justice. So let me just give a bit of a backstory here. So this story begins in Detroit, Michigan, on 8 Mile Road. It's this trailer park back there. And there's this guy, he goes by the name of B Rabbit, and he is actually, Eminem, and he, lives with his mother and his young sister, and they live in a very, you know, poverty-stricken, violence-stricken neighborhood, but he thinks that his way out into the top is through rapping. So he goes to the shelter in Detroit, and he does rap battles against people. And he just goes through all these trials and tribulations of life, and then he ends up – I just gave you the plot of 8 Mile. Brian Rabax, what's going on, buddy?
Wow. Well, quite the introduction. I didn't think I'd get an 8 Mile hero's welcome in here. Nick Palmer is wearing his Islanders sweatshirt, pants, TBD. But
can you answer to me who won that game? Clearly he doesn't know
well,
who won that game.
So that it depends who you ask, really.
The real question is – who started winning after that game? And also, just to tack on to the Eminem thing, I don't know if you know, there is an Eminem song on the album The Eminem Show called Jimmy, Brian, and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics start by saying, yeah, woo, yeah, that's the idea, man. The effing Red Wings are playing. The effing Red Wings are playing, man. So if this wasn't a perfect intro to talk about hockey,
and
I don't know what was.
Listen, I don't think you want to be excited that the Red Wings are playing right now. But just to really gather myself here, it's an honor to be in this chair. You know, there's not a lot of things that I've yet to do here at WFUV. So being able to get on 5-on-3, one of the best podcasts in the country, I think is great. There's the names that have been on this podcast before. Chris Hennessy, Tyler Mooney, Nick Palmer, Michael Matuch. They all provide such great insight and knowledge, and all also happen to be Islanders beat reporters. So it's an honor and a privilege at the end of the day.
Jack Warner did his fair share of Islanders.
He's a Rangers guy now.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like I've just done too much Rangers now to be in the Islander conversation anymore. But I am very grateful for the Islander job because that's what got me. It's what kickstarted my love of hockey. So like that'll always be something that means something to me. But hey, on those lists of notable 5-on-3ers, what list does scorned host sometimes Maddie Bamonte, what list does she get put on?
I mean, she gets put on a nice, like, Hall of Very Good, you know? You know, good career, but nah, always provides great insight here on 5-on-3. And, yeah, scorned, bitter, remorseful. Listen, I'm like that on other podcasts, but I feel like today I'm going to bring nothing but pleasant vibes and just a lot of good mood. Because, listen, the Islanders are playing really well.
Really well. That's an understatement. That's putting it lightly. Well, whenever I'm hosting this show, right, obviously I'm doing the intro, outro, I'm leading the show, I'm trying to, you know, get us through our segments or whatever. But I do, at the same time, like to share the wealth a little bit in terms of when we're talking about teams that we have other people who are passionate about here. So I want to start this show off, first of all, I think if you've listened through this intro to this point so far, you've been very entertained by all of the buffoonery. Devils fans, turn this episode off now. Your team will not be getting spoken about besides Matt Rempe giving Jonas Siegenthaler CTE.
You get
so
nothing.
I'm sorry. It's been a tough year for you guys, but I'm going to be honest with you. We're talking about teams that are making their mark in the Eastern Conference right now and perhaps making a playoff run, not teams that are 3-7 in their last 10. Unfortunately, I really don't have much to bring up about the Devils today. So we're going to start with the New York Islanders. And with us doing that, I want to pass it off to you guys to get this thing going, because I don't think it would be appropriate for me to get the, you know, kind of set the tone for a segment like this.
May I set the tone on what has been a California road trip for the
Please.
New York Islanders?
Please do.
Please set the tone.
Okay. Let's set the tone. The Islanders take a stretch of very good games at home at UBS Arena, in which they beat the Boston Bruins, right?
Damn it.
It's a good team.
And the St. Louis Blues, who had been on a heater, like they're very streaky. If there's one thing you can say about the Blues is that they're streaky.
Another team who whooped the Boston Bruins.
But on the road recently, the Islanders have been absolutely fantastic. Right after that Stadium Series game, I was in the locker room. You could hear a pin drop. Like, the rumors were swirling that Brock was going to get traded soon. Season was over. Ship it all out. Get Wahlstrom out of there. He has no potential. Maybe get some draft picks. It was really bad. Andersley was the only one who was remotely positive. He was getting bashed on Twitter for it, saying, you know, he's not saying what a captain should be saying. He should be taking accountability. I sort of took his side there, and I kind of got bashed for it. But then they started winning games on the road. You win 5-4 in a gritty overtime game in Pittsburgh. You know, you beat the Stars 3-2 in Dallas in overtime. You beat the streaking Red Wings, who were on an absolute tear up until that point, 5-3 in Detroit, so suck it, Eminem. And then you go to California, you beat the Sharks 7-2 commandingly. You beat the Ducks 6-1 commandingly. You go into Los Angeles, you can't expect to win that game. They unfortunately throw up an absolute goose egg. You get pumped 3 goose in Los Angeles after a great road trip. It happens. You go to Buffalo today, 7 o'clock. Brian, what have we got?
You know, the Kings loss, how much do you really take that? It's a tough loss because you were on such a high winning streak, but it's the second game of a back-to-back, like, you're not that worried about it in the grand scheme of things. They had played exceptional hockey before that, and they took care of the awful teams. They took care of San Jose. They took care of Anaheim. I mean, those games were never really within doubt. Those weren't even close.
San Jose makes you work, though, from time to time. They didn't on that game, but in like 80-90% of games, San Jose is going to make you earn your 2 points.
But the impressive thing about this stretch is just the really good teams that they were able to just go up against and handle. I mean, Boston, you talk about that first period where it's 3-0 and they're taking down a premier team in the Eastern Conference and making it look like nothing. And then you look at Dallas, they beat them, and Detroit. I mean, some could say that they sent them into the downward spiral that they're on right now. I mean, the city of Detroit has not been the same since the Islanders went in there. So it's just been like a lot of really consistent good hockey, which you hadn't seen from the Islanders all year long. It seemed that every time they'd play okay and then they'd lose in overtime, and it would just be so incredibly frustrating. But now Patrick Waugh has come in there and they've found a lot of consistency, which we hadn't been seeing for a while. So as an Islanders fan and members of the fan base, it has to be such a sigh of relief that now they're in a playoff spot, which at the Stadium Series, you mentioned the pin dropping and how silent it was in that locker room. Everyone thought the season was over by that point, blowing that lead. And now, I mean, to be where they are is simply remarkable.
The way I've watched this Islanders team look since this Stadium Series, actually not even since the Stadium Series game, since Patty Waugh's hiring, the way that this Islanders team, the shift that they have made in the way that they approach this season, I think is night and day. I think in the first half of the season, pre-All-Star break, you saw an Islanders team that was content with just getting the point. It was always talked about how bad they are in overtime. It was always talked about how bad they were in third periods. So you were lucky if you even got the point. But you had a team that I think was just content. Like, you just had a team that if they won, great, we got the win tonight. Good job, boys. Play the victory song. If not, oh, well, you know, we got another point. You had Lane Lambert, who I just really – I'm not a huge fan of Lane Lambert. I'm glad that – you didn't even have to replace him with Patty Waugh, and I think it would have been the right move. But nevertheless, this post-Patty Waugh hiring New York Islanders team is gutting out wins, You got – an overtime victory in Dallas. That is one of the best teams in the Western Conference. A game that not many people, I think, would pick the Islanders to win, especially on the road. You have them beating the Bruins 5-1, who, yes, are streaky, but the Bruins can hop back into things at any time. I mean, the Bruins have already gotten the better of the Islanders earlier in the season. Once, you know, at TD, where they walked all over them, and then once where Pastrnak had that the shootout goal.
Yeah.
So that was a back and forth series. You knew
I was blowing the shootout.
Yeah, exactly. So you knew that Bruins game was going to be a tough one. 5-1, Kyle Palmieri, natural hat trick in the first period. You had the Islanders Red Wings game, which I think is the most impressive win of this entire run. You're on the road in Detroit. Lou and I were actually watching that game that night. Patrick Kane was on fire that night. Was playing really well. I know he had one goal, maybe he had two.
Showtime.
And you just saw this New York Islanders team in a back-and-forth game just take over the third period. Just absolutely slashed the tires of the Detroit Red Wings. Yeah. And, you know, I just think the team that you're seeing now, I think the skill's always been there. The guys have always been there. It's about the way in which they view themselves. It's the way in which they go into these games, and it's not just about getting a point anymore. They finally had to light a fire under their ass and say, hey, we're not a lock for the wild card. We're not a lock for the play. In fact, you're not even a lock for the wild card, let alone the playoffs, like a solidified playoff spot. I really think that you're finally seeing it's kind of frustrating because it makes you wonder if this was sort of the MO from the start of the season, how things would be.
Right.
But I think you're now looking at one of the scariest teams in the Eastern Conference going forward.
The best thing about this Islanders team, and I've been waiting for a while to start bragging about this, that it was actually working. In the 2019-2020 and the 2020-2021 playoff pushes into the Eastern Conference Final, they had a line that was working very well. It was Brock Nelson, Josh Bailey for a while, and a very young, very inexperienced, but incredibly talented Matt Barzal. They were known as the Killer Bees. That line dissipated because Josh Bailey's Josh Bailey, and Brock Nelson found a better home at centering the second line, where he was more functional at producing goals and evening out the goal distribution among the four forward lines. Now we have a new Killer Bees lineup in the first line, and it worked so well. Brock Nelson, Bo Horvat, Matt Barzal. This is one of the elite top lines in hockey, and I don't think you can argue against it. I would argue it's in the top six first lines in hockey, and I think you can easily make that argument. I mean, Brock Nelson is a natural goal scorer, natural producer. Bo Horvat is one of the most talented visionaries that I've ever seen on the ice. His ability to make himself open, maybe not make incredible passes like Matt Barzal can, but the ability to find holes in the defense and be there. Maybe it's a backdoor pass that he's open to tap in, or if he just finds a slot where there's no one defending him, he's great. And Matt Barzal is Matt Barzal. He's the most crafty and creative player in the NHL.
Well, I mean, just look at what the top line is doing in the six-game win streak. They combined, I think, for 27 points. So they're all getting goals and assists every single night. So no matter what, in this most important stretch of the Islander season, Bo, Brock, and Barzal have all been contributing. And that's what the Islanders have just needed for so long, for everyone to just be going, firing on all cylinders at the same time.
Yeah.
And with this game tonight against the Sabres, who also, their playoff hopes are still alive thanks
Barely.
To the collapse of Detroit. I don't know how the Sabres are still in it. They broke it down at the deadline, but
it's the same thing every year.
Found a way. So this is another team that's going to be really scrappy, playing for really their season. So it's a huge performance against a team that's going to be competing for a wild card spot, similar to you. But the Islanders just be in this position because there have been so many points, whether it be the Stadium Series game, whether it be the game that I saw you at, Nick, against the Lightning, where
right.
that was just that should have ended their season. That was a really important game against a team they were chasing in the wild card, and now they've really closed the gap. I think they're 2 points behind Tampa as things stand right now.
Right, yeah.
So
WC2, yeah.
Just the way that they have not gone away has been incredible. And, yeah, the top line of the Killer Bees has just been really at the forefront of that.
The prestige of that Nelson, Horvat, Barzal line is undisputable. And one of the other reasons it's undisputable is it has nothing to do with even – what we see on them, you know, what we see on the ice when they're playing together. But think about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, when the Islanders are shifting around looks and break that lineup for, like, it was only 3 or 4 nights, and it was 3 of the worst games that yeah. we'd ever seen the Islanders play. Yeah. As soon as they split that lineup, especially a line that, like, you saw throughout the season. Think about this. When they acquired, I've mentioned this on past episodes. When they acquired Bo Horvat last season, he didn't get a real look with Matt Barzal until the playoffs because Barzal was hurt.
Yeah.
And that's playoff hockey is just a completely different environment. You could really say that they were finally starting from square one with this line. This is really, I honestly think, it's a fresh, organic new look at a line that started this season, and you've gotten to see that grow and get more comfortable with it. And it's been a work of progress throughout the season. They really start to catch their stride and really start playing the type of hockey that, you know, has been expected out of them. And for some odd reason, and I understand there were a couple things that happened. I believe there was an injury involved. There was, I forget, because it was over a month ago, so I forget exactly what the cause was. But that line got split up, and you immediately saw afterward 3 or 4 of the worst games the Islanders played immediately following. So it's like you can see not only what they're doing on the ice, but like when they're not together, the team is not playing as well. That's a group that you need together creating opportunities.
I'm really glad you brought up the Lightning game before we move on. Because right after that Lightning game loss, that was right before Roy. I am exhausted. That's the first time I've ever done that in my life, and I did it on
what,
air.
What an awful time I, to make that mistake.
And I did it on air.
On Isn't, air?
That's the first time I've ever
on
done that.
On my debut? Are you kidding me?
I'm exhausted. Okay. Look,
I'm reporting you to HR.
That I should be reported. That was in the words of
Lane.
Can we just
shut everyone's mics off? Like,
in the words of Lane Lambert, after the most crushing loss of the season, that was sin. that was a ridiculous thing to hear, by the way.
He was such a doorknob.
He was like, losing that game is sin.
That is
and
sin.
I'm like, you're getting fired in a week. Anyway, right after that loss to Tampa, Barzal said he likened this line to the Kucherov, Stamkos, Braden Point line because he says you're so focused on those three guys that the Brandon Hagels and the Anthony Cirellis end up beating you. And those guys still get their share because they're so good, right? So you're not only making the top line tougher to face, you're creating some space for the other guys to thrive. And I think that caps what that off beautifully. Patrick Waugh. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
After all that,
I don't even know how we can continue.
After all that man has done for your
team. He's done so much. And he's so nice to me, too. I'm so sorry.
I don't know how you're going to be able to look him in the eyes again.
I don't know how he's going to. I don't know.
I'm so guilty. I'm going to have to tell him in the next press conference. I'm going to be like, Patrick, look, on 5-on-3.
You should tell
Patrick,
him.
Great game tonight, but I have to confess, I butchered your name on 5.
You now have to, in the very next press conference you see him in, you have to tell him that he gets one free loogie to hawk on your face, just right in your face, just spit right in your face as like a sorry.
I have to tell him I don't believe enough to like tell priests everything that like I've done.
But
4 Stanley Cups with 2 different teams, 3 Vezinas and 3 Conn Smythes is enough to be like, okay, I should tell you everything.
That is sin. So you know what? Give Patrick Waugh your sins.
I'm not religious, but Patty Waugh is Patty Waugh, dude. Like, I mean, oh boy.
Oh wait, James isn't here. The best goalie of all time.
Oh yeah, because Burley really like strongly protects the whole Brodeur is the greatest goalie of all time, which
Nope.
I have nothing but the endless respect for Marty Brodeur.
So
he's not the greatest goalie of all time. He's one of. He's a top three. He's a top five. Whatever you want to give him, I'll give it to him. But he's not. He's not top one. I don't know if it's Patty Wall though. I don't know. That's a really tough conversation. I don't know why you're like smirking at me like that though.
Because it is.
These are the riveting conversations that 5-on-3
gives.
Because
if you're not saying it's Patty Wall, right?
Right.
Then it would have to be Dom Hasek.
That's kind of who I was thinking.
Okay. All right. We'll digress.
I mean, is that it on your boys on the island? What else is there anything?
What else is there really to go into? They're winning.
They're winning. Hot. The penalties are coming back, which I don't really like.
Yeah.
That irks me.
Hey, since the cameras are on, can you show the viewers at home what they teach you in hockey when you're a kid?
Yeah, it is actually a lot of
I want to rehash
lack of control of the stick.
Because that's why I figured
I'm gonna need to see this.
All right, yeah, this is one of the most. This is a remake of one of the most infamous moments in 5-on-3.
Make sure not to go out of frame either.
So when you're in Pee Wee hockey, Mites hockey, Squirts hockey, doesn't matter. When you first step on the ice with a stick, you're taught if you're in the defensive zone, you keep your stick on the ice. So that way, if there's a backdoor pass, say, to someone wide open, the puck doesn't go past you, and they can just tip it in. This is a really hard concept for a lot of youngsters to grasp out there. And a lot of people on the New York Islanders at times. Scott Mayfield. So, if you keep your stick on the ice, not only will pucks not go in the back of the net, also it protects you from getting penalties like a high stick, where you shove it in someone's eye and they start bleeding from the face. Or, say, a tripping call, where you're waving your stick all over the place and you trip someone. Or slashing, or any penalty, really, you can get in hockey. And they've come back. They were off for a while. They came back. The Islanders are very streaky in their penalties. That's all I've got to say about that.
Just get control of the stick at the end of the day. And by the way, since you bring up his name, I hope Scott Mayfield is still in the basement of MetLife Stadium. I hope he's just like...
He's not playing.
I hope he's just camping out at the concession stands over there.
As one of the Instagram users quoted, I don't know who it was. There's billions of people on Instagram. As an Instagram user I saw after the Stadium Series game once said, quote, "Send Scott Mayfield to the Earth's core." That is one of the craziest
the Earth's
comments.
Core is a dark place.
It is a hot place. I don't think a human could live there. So I think they're alluding to kill Scott Mayfield, which is a little strong. Hey, that's a little strong.
Great knowledge of the game.
Great knowledge of the game. And how to
lovely
trip.
Guy.
And how to trip. Who'd he trip? Alexi Lafreniere, I think.
He lost in that game.
The question is, who didn't he trip?
That's actually a fair point. Yeah, he single-handedly lost.
He was
in that
doing
game.
A lot in the last 5 minutes of regulation.
You know who's doing too much? Matt Rempe. Let's talk
about
him.
Oh, great segue.
My God. Can I ask one more question before we get there?
Yeah.
So you look at these next three games. Well, let's go next. Let's go next six. Because
start from Sunday.
You guys because you guys have a gauntlet coming up.
Yes.
So tonight at Buffalo, which shouldn't have been important a while ago, but now like is important due to like them sneaky making a playoff run.
Important.
Ottawa Senators at home this Saturday.
Pause. Islanders alternate jersey schedule.
What are we getting?
Yes, because it's at 12:30 on Saturday.
This is really important.
No alternate jerseys. All right. We're good.
All right, so we can win. All right. Sunday, March 17th, a.k.a. the anniversary of Jack Warner's existence.
Shout out to this guy.
Madison Square Garden, 1 p.m., Islanders-Rangers Stadium Series rematch. They're not even going to let Scott Mayfield on the team bus.
They can't.
They can. He's hurt.
After that, okay, well, still, they just won't let him.
I don't think he can walk onto the team.
He'll trip the bus driver somehow.
He'll trip the bus.
The bus is just going to capsize because Scott Mayfield stuck his leg out.
It's going to flip over in a ditch because Scott Mayfield.
The only other hockey bus that is capsized had Phil Kessel on it. So
do with that information what you will. Then next Tuesday, hosting the Hurricanes. Big one. You don't want Matty Bamonte being able to say stuff to you.
I swear to God.
I'd rather not.
Next Thursday.
I could have covered that game, but I chose not to.
Fair enough. Next Thursday at Detroit. They're going to want that one back, so you know that could be a good game.
Oh, we want to beat the Red Wings. So
next
bad.
Saturday, hosting the Winnipeg Jets. Connor and the Winnipeg Jets.
From Sunday on, it's a gauntlet.
Connor Hellebuck is washed.
That's an absurd statement.
Yeah, it is a gauntlet. The Flyers suck. The Blackhawks suck. The Blue Jackets suck. The Canadiens suck. The Penguins suck. It's like a mini gauntlet of sorts.
Right, but you also missed the Panthers on March 28th, the Lightning again on March 30th.
This is the thing. This upcoming next week is going to be a real test of, okay, yes, how good are the Islanders? Was it like a nice stretch that they had for a little while where they got a couple of bad teams that helped prolong their win streak a little bit on their California trip? Or are they legit where they can beat Detroit on the road a second time? Can they get back against the Rangers this Sunday on St. Paddy's Day and Jack Warner's anniversary of his great existence on this earth?
Love it.
There's a lot of questions that they're still going to need to answer. I know they've been playing well as of late, but this is going to be a real test next week, I think you have to look forward to
it. You know the Rangers and Islanders play each other 3 more times before the end of the season?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Because they didn't play until the Stadium Series.
That's right. Yeah. They have twice in 4 days.
Yeah. And the way the schedule works out is that so long as they beat the teams that are beneath them in the standings and they beat 2 to 3 teams that are ahead of them, it doesn't matter what anyone else does.
You know what? That's what they've been doing. They've been beating teams that were either formerly ahead of them or still are, like those Dallas, Detroit, Boston.
Like, I see them beating the Flyers.
The Flyers have been just a weird team recently.
They've been a wreck.
They're the weakest team that's secured in a non-wild card playoff spot.
They're the worst good. They're the worst good team I've ever seen,
and they're falling off right now.
Yikes!
And I think they can pull out. I think they can pull out a win at home against the Preds. I don't see that as unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's possible. Anyway, Matt Rampe.
Anyway, Matt Rumpy.
Shifting over
that
to
little
the New York
twerp.
Rangers.
That
all
little
right.
rapscallion.
I guess, do you want to start there, or should we start Rangers and then get there? I feel like since we've alluded
You're
to
the
it.
Host.
I think since we've alluded to it twice, we should just start there.
I feel like he's really
sorry,
Matt
I don't like
Rumpy.
This guy. I don't like this guy.
Well, I mean, Brian doesn't like this guy either, as you'll come to find out. So the other night against the New Jersey Devils.
Set the scene.
It's at Madison Square Garden. Lou Orlando is in the Chase Bridge. His blonde hair is twinkling in the light. He looks fantastic.
Always looks great.
Bro looks good. And this game had some anticipation around it, not only just being another installment of the Hudson River rivalry, but because of Matt Rempe. Now, that seems to be the case with every game nowadays. Who's Matt Rempe going to fight? But there was a difference with this one, and it was because this is now the second time that you're such a jackass.
If only the people listening on Spotify or wherever could see Nick Palmer's just...
Oh, is he coming up behind me?
He's just sticking his elbow out like he did to that poor that poor man.
Oh, my God.
That poor innocent man that he tried to give a serious head injury to.
Yeah.
Jonas Siegenthaler, I don't think so.
Can y'all let me talk?
Please, the floor is yours.
Let's go back 2 or 3 weeks ago to an absolute bleep kicking against the New Jersey Devils where Matt Rempe gets a game misconduct on his first shift of the game and gets ejected because he laid a hit on Nathan Bastian that took Bastian out of the game for the rest of the period, where essentially he goes shoulder to head. I think that's where the Rempe is dirty vibe started to begin. No one was calling Rempe dirty because he was fighting people.
No one thought he would be fighting people every single game.
Right. So that's where the Rempe is dirty dialogue starts, is this hit on Bastian. And I defended him for that hit on Bastion. He made no distinct movement to aim for his head. Sure, he didn't make a movement to get out of the way of his head. But when you're 6'9" on skates, sometimes that's going to happen. That's something that he has to deal with. And as a younger player, it's going to be something that's up to him to get the experience and gain the discipline to avoid situations like that. But in its rawest form, he's in his fourth or fifth game. I'm not, you know, tearing down Matt Rempe because of the hit on Nathan Bastion. But that definitely heated things up between these two teams where things are already heated up naturally. The other night, Matt Rempe just tracks down Jonas Siegenthaler, leads with an elbow, doesn't even really make that much contact with much of Siegenthaler's body, but just goes elbow straight to Siegenthaler's head, sends him straight down to the ice. Fight, scuffle, breaks out. Rempe is ejected from the game. He's given his second straight misconduct against the Devils, and he waves to the Devils bench on the way off the ice as he's being escorted out of the game by referees to the applause of Madison Square Garden. He's then suspended 4 games, and now here we are talking about it.
I just don't really understand why Rangers fans are applauding this behavior. Like, what are we doing here? I know Rangers fans are like, oh, he's awesome. Look at this. He has his teammates back or whatever. Listen, the first time when he got on the ice at the Stadium Series, that was cool. His second game against the Devils, it's the Hudson River rivalry, whatever. Like, he hit somebody. It's fine. You like the kid. Third game against the Flyers, cool fight. But this is becoming a pattern where he's doing this every single time. And now it's just getting to the point where he's always looking to fight. He's not really – it just seems that his head's in the wrong space to me. And I just really don't like it. 4-game suspension, good. It's about time someone put him in his place.
Right, but I think there's a way where this behavior can get old. Yes, I understand that.
It's ridiculous at this point.
You can bring back fighting culture without making it dirty.
Okay, but how many of those fights have been initiated with him? Like,
because people know.
I know, but how much blame can you give Matt Rempe when there's a laundry list of players that are trying to fight him every game?
You know why? Because people see him in his first 3 career games, like, getting in fights every game, and now everyone's just going to approach him and think that, okay, if I approach him, he'll fight. It's just he's not setting a good example for himself, I guess, in that regard, if you want to, like, not put the blame on him.
And also, no one was bashing him, but now he's made 2 extremely dirty hits on people.
Right.
And the job of, if you want to say, okay, we want a fighter on our team, their job should be to back up when your star player, who isn't 6'9", gets crunched on the boards, and then you have to answer the bell. It shouldn't be him instigating fights with people, beating the crap out of them, and then getting a game misconduct and walking off the ice to a standing ovation.
But who did he initiate? Like, that's a dirty hit. I'm telling you guys, that's a dirty hit. Who is he initiating fights with? He turned down Reeves the first time Reeves tried to fight him. He turned down someone else on the Devils when they tried to pick them early in the game against the Devils. So who is he continuously picking fights
it's
with?
It's because of the hits that he's laying. If he doesn't lay those hits,
right,
there's no
right.
problem.
That's fair. I mean, again, I think the hit that he laid on Siegenthaler is extremely dirty, is extremely dangerous, and I'm glad he got suspended for it. I'm glad he's going to learn his lesson, hopefully, because he can't spend – because there will become a certain point where there's certain players you can afford to let them do whatever they want, because nevertheless, they've established themselves in the NHL. They can – you can't – you there's certain guys that are unimpeachable just because they're too valuable to your team. He's a guy that's only as productive or only as valuable for as available as he is to be valuable. Yeah. So if he continues to get himself in trouble, he's lucky. Honestly, some people think he's lucky he didn't get any sort of, you know, suspension the first hit on the Devils. So it's he is going to have to learn from this one because he's young. And I'm going to tell you another thing. I have been a defender of Matt Rempe. I have. And I also, while saying the hit was dirty on Jonas Siegenthaler, because it was, Siegenthaler hasn't played since that game. He's hurt. So I understand the repercussions of it. I understand that it's serious. It's dirty. It has no place in sports. I get it. I also don't think that hit was Matt Rempe trying to go take Jonas Siegenthaler out of the game. This was a conversation that Lou and I have had in the past. I genuinely think Matt Rempe skates around sometimes like an AHLer. I think some of this comes from a lack of discipline. That doesn't erase the fact that he's putting people's safety in danger with hits like this. Yeah. And it doesn't erase the fact that his lack of availability to his team will become an issue if this isn't fixed. But I also don't think, and I understand it's easy to watch a hit like that and get upset and have an emotional reaction. Like, that's normal. But I don't think that Matt Rempe, and I can't speak for him, but every player that has been asked about Matt Rempe, when he fought Olivier right after the game, Olivier said, everyone respects that. Everyone in this league respects that kid, and they should, because he does whatever it takes to stay up in the league.
That was before he laid the hits.
I understand this, but hold on. Reeves, after he fights Reeves, which he laid a tough hit on one of Reeves' teammates just before that one. That's what spawned the fight. Even Reeves says after the game, I got to talk to him in the box a little bit. He's a humble kid. He's going to run this league in a few years. When I hear those things like that from people within inside the league, it's not justifying the hits at all. But what I do think it's at least leading me to have some sort of hope or belief in is that that was a hit that he laid out of lack of discipline, out of lack of being able to – he's not quite accustomed yet entirely to the speed of the NHL or the physicality of the NHL, or he's maybe too physical for the casual physicality of the NHL. Whatever the case may be, I really have a hard time believing that he was going out there headhunting.
Well, listen, now he's suspended for a game, so you hope that it establishes some sort of discipline, but, I mean, if it doesn't afterwards, then
he'll become a liability.
He'll become a liability, and, you know, your bottom six, like, fill-in guy for right now, at least that's how you started. It's just that it's becoming a point where, you know, Laviolette's going to have to answer questions about Matt Rempe every single night, and it's just going to become too much. And like you said earlier, Jack, it's not like he's established enough credibility within the league where they can just kind of turn a blind eye to this and let it slide. He's still in his early stages in his career. He really hasn't been here for that long. So just the fact that he hasn't really shown a sense of discipline where he hasn't necessarily gone a stretch where he's been like fine.
If Jacob Trouba gets suspended, they're counting the days down until he comes back.
Yeah.
You're not doing that for Matt Rempe.
That's not what Matt Rempe is. That's not what he's given. That's not what his job has been. He's too young. He's too inexperienced to ever have that kind of expectation. The only thing he's played well. He's actually played well for his size, for the time on ice that he gets, which is not much. But he's also become a fan favorite. So, like, yes, people don't want to see him get suspended, but not a single person in the New York Rangers faithful is thinking, oh, my God, we're going to lose serious games down the stretch because Matt Rempe is suspended.
I guess the last thing on Matt Rempe is, and I guess fighting in general, because I do actually like fighting culture. I think it's a valuable part of the game
100%.
That you don't see in any other sport. But I only like fighting culture when it serves the team. I don't like fighting for fighting's sake. I like fighting when your star player gets hit and you need to let the other team know that, hey, you can't do that because otherwise you're going to get taken down to the ice and have a broken nose if you do that. You need to back off of our star players. And what that does is it frees up your star players to maneuver more and maybe score a goal or two because the other team is too scared to go up and hit them. Or, you know, I'm good with fighting if someone just lays a hit that you don't like, or if you're trying to take a really talented player out of the game. Like, let's say a really talented player lays a hit and he agrees to a fight with you, that's 5 minutes of one of their top players in the box. Yeah, I'm signing up for that. So I like fighting tactically. I don't like fighting because people are just mad at each other because they have presumed beef. I don't think that's valuable.
A lot of this seems like, more often than not, it's like fighting for fighting's sakes, where someone's approaching him in pregame and they're saying, hey, you want to fight later? And like that's what a lot of it seems to me. And it was okay for the first couple of games where it's like, oh, Matt Rempe's fighting a lot. Like, this is really cool. We need more of this in the sport. And now it's just a tired case where hopefully it just becomes a non-topic of conversation after these four games.
Right, but that's the part where I was getting frustrated with people blaming Matt Rempe. I understand you should criticize him till the cows come home, when he's laying dirty hits on people and getting himself suspended, and he's, you know, going, he's laying hits that could put people in serious danger. Like I said, Jonas Siegenthaler might have a concussion. He's out for the Devils. So, you know, you should give him your wrath if you think that, if that's something that, like, you know, bothers you, because I think it should. That's not good for the game, and that's not good for a young Matt Rempe who wants to establish a career in the NHL. But I was really getting irritated with people who were tired of the constant fighting early on, before the hits were an issue. Yeah. Just because you can't put all of the blame. I said this to Lou the other day. I said, it's going to get really old if every game that he goes out to, someone meets him at the red line and asks to fight him. Like, even guys who are known enforcers in the league, if you think, like, longtime enforcers, think of a Pat Maroon type, or think of any guy of that stature who's a bigger brute guy who may not even be, like, the greatest player, but is out there for his identity that he gives to the team and what he can do. None of them eventually, like, none of them, you know, display their physicality like that. It all happens on the ice. So it's like, I didn't like when people displayed all of the blame on Matt Rempe, because yes, he said yes, yes, he accepted these offers, but it's like, for the first five games of the season, there was a laundry list of people who were asking him to fight. And was there a reason why? Yeah, because it's Matt Rempe. He fought Matt Martin on his first shift. Like, I understand he established this persona for himself. But, like, I also don't think people are, like, paying enough mind to the fact that this is a 20-year-old kid that, like, 30-year-old players are meeting at the red line and going, hey, want to get him off later. So if the fans, it's like, clearly the fans and the players don't share the same opinions on him, because the players have said nothing but good things except for Devils players.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is, when you talk about where the blame should go,
right?
Like, no one's approaching Matt Rempe at the red line asking him to fight if he doesn't do that at the Stadium Series. No one's approaching him.
No, I don't think so.
No.
But Matt Martin approached him.
Matt Martin did. But,
like, that's the thing. The first thing he was involved in wasn't even entirely him. Like, the very first one. Now, we knew this kid was a physical presence. Like, we knew, obviously, there's something about him.
Yeah.
And something about, there was something known about him that prompted Matt Martin to want to give him his first, you know, go at it early on that shift. But it's like, even the very first one was a mutual agreement pre-puck drop.
I'm tired of talking about this guy, to be honest, I'm done. I hope you serve your 4-game suspension. Stop getting into fights. You're only gonna, you know, you could impact your long-term health too.
Yeah, so. I actually really don't want this kid to, like, get hurt. Like, yeah. the fact that he always has some sort of blemish or scar or bruise or black eye is, like, not good, and it's not, like, reassuring at all that, like, he'll have a safe adulthood. But Nick Palmer, Matt Rempe or Brad Marchand? I feel like, in what sense? I feel like for you, that's picking between, like, an ear infection and an ingrown toenail.
Are you saying, who do I like more?
Yeah. Or who do you hate less? That's maybe a better
one. Oh. Brad Marchand is way too proven. like I know how much I hate Brad Marchand. Matt Rempe's not a thought yet. If Matt Rempe keeps doing this for another, like, decade, then I'll be like, all right, I hate this guy so much.
Where does Jimmy VC fit on this scale?
Oh, my God.
I don't hate Jimmy VC. I just think
he's
a bum.
You were just wrong. By the way, let the record show one more time. Nick Palmer was wrong about Jimmy VC.
I think he's a bum.
And that's what has to get to you the most, right? It just sits in your head that Jimmy VC got one up over you.
Speaking of times that Nick Palmer was wrong, Mika Zibanejad, the power play merchant, according to Nick Palmer, broke a 5-on-5 goldless drought against. Why am I blanking on who they played the other night?
Carolina.
That was it. My bad. I don't know puck. It's a long day.
What was it? His first one since December.
It was.
I think it was around that timeline.
They said it was like.
It's his first 5v5 goal since December 23rd,
which is crazy.
Okay, yep. Okay, that was a pretty good backhand.
Oh, it was a beautiful backhand.
He's just got it pulled up. Nuts. Pulled up on the laptop right now. Yeah. Yep.
Per Lou Orlando.
I trust them.
Wait, no, wasn't that against Jersey?
It might have been against Jersey.
Yeah, because they only scored one.
It was against Jersey.
Yeah, because they had the deflection against Carolina.
Getting my games mixed
up here.
Either way,
doesn't matter. The New York Rangers are New York Rangering at an alarming rate. After two back-to-back pretty tough losses, you got a shootout loss to the Maple Leafs 4-3 on last Saturday. Then a tough one at the Garden, a hard fought but couldn't come up with the win. 4-2 loss against the best team in the league, the Florida Panthers. They go on a run, 4-0 over the Blues, 3-1 over the Devils, 1-0 over the Hurricanes, back to back to back. But what I want to talk about, especially with Nick Palmer in attendance,
is a contract extension.
No, but we could if you want. But
no, we're gonna talk about what you want.
Just the position. Igor Shesterkin, back to back shutouts.
Oh.
4-0 shutout against the Blues, which I understand the Blues are not a very good hockey team. I don't care. A shutout is a shutout. But most impressively, goes into Raleigh, Carolina, goes into Matty Bamonte's backyard, a.k.a. the PNC Arena.
I'm fine with that.
Where you can see Travis Scott for $11.
Really?
Apparently that's what she said.
Give me the loot.
And shuts out the Carolina Hurricanes in a... really, that was so corny, but I loved it so much.
Can we edit that out? Oh my god, you're making it impossible here. I'm gonna walk off the set.
I had a show one time where he like teased me so bad. It may have been my first day host. He teased me so bad the entire show.
What did I do?
You did all. Oh, what didn't you do? You just kept saying like random stuff when I was talking. I was like,
oh yeah. Well, I'm usually a jerk on air.
I'm proud to announce that this is my first 5-on-3, and I will subsequently announce that this will also be my last. thanks a lot to Nick Palmer.
Oh my god,
it was a good run.
We haven't even gotten to the fun and games.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the fun and games.
We're almost there though. Sit tight. So Nick, I want to ask the token goalie on the set right now. What have you thought of this Igor Shesterkin? I guess we'll call it redemption arc, aka. February through now.
Pretty crazy. 7-1-1 in his last 9 starts with a 1.67 goals against, which is gross. I think like a 950 something save percentage.
Mm-hmm.
2 shutties in that time. You can't ask for more from your goaltender. And that's what's going to keep Quick out of the net. If you play like that, you have the starting job, son. But that's not to not give Quick his flowers, because I'm always going to give him 14-5-2 this season with a 2.38 goals against and a 917 save, 2 shutties.
Has been outrageous. Looked great against the Devils the other night, too.
The best thing about these two goaltenders is, yeah, Quick's played 2 of the last 11. Fine. But whenever Quick needs to take a stretch of games, whether Igor's hurt or not playing well, that's when he turns it on. And when Quick doesn't have it, Igor will go on a stretch like we're seeing now. They pick up each other's, they finish each other's sentences so well. And that's, honestly, it's the number one reason why the Rangers are first in the Metro right now. Not the number one reason why they're in a playoff spot, but the number one reason why they're first in the Metro.
Well, no, I think that's a great point because,
stealing games.
Stealing games because we've talked about it a lot that I find myself perplexed with how dominant of a team the Rangers have been this year. Have basically run the Metro the entire season. Nice job dropping your phone, yep. Idiot.
I'll grab that.
Heard.
The mics picked that one up. Hope it didn't crack.
Boom.
That's
good.
A nice case.
Perfect screen here.
We're good. That's like an iPhone 6.
iPhone SE.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, sorry.
Still has a home button.
Wow.
Yep. We're in the trenches over here.
You might
here.
As well have a landline at that point. Jesus.
Who says I don't?
True. You are an old-fashioned
I would.
Guy. Anyway, I've found myself perplexed by how dominant the Rangers have been this season for how poorly they've played at 5-on-5 at many times throughout the season. And I've said, and I used that point the last time I was talking about this as a reason to prop up not trading Kaapo Kakko because of how defensively valuable he is, and
he's
on
good.
on a great team that already doesn't score in volume all the time, you need any person who's a defensive contributor that you can possibly have. I think this just speaks to the. I think exactly what you said about the goaltending tandem being the reason that they're first in the Metro, I think is absolutely the case, because like we just both said, there hasn't been great 5-on-5 play for significant chunks of the season.
Your 5-on-5 is what happens most of the time.
Yeah, unless you're playing the Islanders. But or actually Scott Mayfield. I feel like I really disgusted you. That was like a mean look on your face.
Yeah, that was pretty
rude. He didn't like that one bit.
Yeah.
That was low.
But seriously, though, the biggest success offensively for the New York Rangers this year has been that Lafreniere, Panarin. Why am I, like, blanking? I'm, like, fogging on
this,
everything.
This is
Lafreniere,
a really tough
Panarin,
look.
Trocheck line.
There you go.
Being, you know, as amazing as they've been and as much of a firepower to everything offensive for the Rangers as they've been this year, still, it hasn't been a team that you can know what to expect going out there every night, how many goals they're going to score. The goalie tandem for the Rangers has quietly been the most valuable thing that they have had this entire season.
I think this is what Rangers fans were looking for and kind of dreaming of when they acquired Jonathan Quick, thinking, whoa, okay, we have Jonathan Quick now paired up with the best goalie in the entire NHL. Now, this year, Igor has had his moments, but I think recently you're seeing that he's obviously still got it and still extremely valuable for them to have in the net. I mean, back-to-back shutouts, one against the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, a 1-0 victory.
Gritty.
In Matty Bamonte's backyard,
yeah,
too. There's just a lot at stake there. So I think that just the way that this tandem has gone with the Rangers has really, like you guys have been saying, put them in this spot. But then also just the way that they've been kind of secure in their own core, where they didn't offload for a big piece at the deadline. They didn't go after a guy like Guentzel and give up Kakko to try to establish another scorer. They kept the core that they had, added small pieces, and so far it's working, where they've won 3 straight games since the deadline. So I think overall you're looking at the Rangers. They play their brand of hockey, and they haven't stepped away from that. And Igor Shesterkin and Jonathan Quick have been huge contributors, but Igor recently, you just really have to look at that and just say, wow.
And Jack, I'm glad you brought up the second line being probably the most valuable line on this team right now, because I completely agree, because Mika has struggled this year in long stretches of games.
Right.
Where the first line cannot buy a goal. Like, Kreider cannot do it all himself. And now that you have, you know, you have Hedl out, and, you know, you got to fill that in with, like, Roslovic and stuff. Like, you know, you don't want to be doing that, and your second line has been the most consistent line, because of course it is. It's Artemi Panarin, who's one of the most prolific point getters in the Metropolitan Division. You have Vincent Trocheck, who is the most, I would argue, most well-rounded and solid forward that you have on your team. And then you have Laff, who has an enormous young spark for this team, and they gel so well together. I really like your second line.
New York second line, my second line.
Don't you dare say his second line.
New York second line. I'm a.
That's
a
Boston guy.
I'm unfortunately a Boston guy right now.
Okay.
And I say that because, like, it's unfortunate because we lost to the Islanders. Like, that's bad.
Hey, there's no shame. There's no shame in that. The UBS Arena is a tough crowd.
Didn't like the Blue Jackets beat you one game or something.
I mean, the Blues beat us the other night. Like, slapped us. I think it was like 5-1.
Yeah, that's not that bad. That's embarrassing than the Islanders, though.
That's far more embarrassing than the Islanders. The Islanders are good. The Islanders are back.
They're back. The Durs are back.
I think it's most appropriate to finish up the Rangers conversation. We're now a week since, actually just short of a week since the trade deadline closing.
Oh, right. You lost to the Kraken 4-1.
Just had to get one more jab in there before you transition.
Go ahead.
Is that a loss for words? I'm sorry you have to deal with this every week. This could get annoying really fast.
And the Caps 3 goose.
It's like herding cats. It really is.
Wow.
It's, oh, God.
No.
We're now just short of a week since the trade deadline closing. And it seems like the consensus is very good about the Rangers deadline that they had.
It's good for now.
Good for now. You're seeing, you know, guys who are already starting to record some points. Roslovic, Wenberg, already starting to make their marks. They, you know, we've gotten to see a few games now. Roslovic skates well. Wenberg also skates well. Ruedel's is getting some looks because Trouba is out. I do think, and I thought this when it happened, and I do think it will continue to be the case, that Roslovic will go down as the reason that people look back on this Rangers deadline positively. You knew what the MO was for the Rangers going into the deadline was to fill gaps.
Yeah.
You had, you know, they're between shuffling VC and Kako between the first and third lines on the right wing. You're trying to make up for the absences of, most importantly, Philip Hedl, but on top of that, you know, Blake Wheeler as well. You pick up Wenberg, he was a minutes leader in Seattle, solid bottom sixth addition, good depth piece. Can't blame the move. Ruedel's going to be more of a 7D guy, but nevertheless has a career that has shown success over in Pittsburgh. Don't hate the move, but again, it's a depth piece move. So you're two moves in, and you're like, okay, depth piece, they're adding depth. Good, that's what we needed. We're filling the gaps. That's what we wanted. You sign, you pick up Roslovic right at the buzzer. It was like an hour and a half before the deadline expired. Who was a name that flew under everybody's radar.
Yeah.
And while I don't think that that's a bona fide superstar, they didn't pick up a Gensel, or they didn't pick up, you know, Vladimir Tarasenko. They didn't pick up, you know, somebody who's a real, real high volume scorer. But I also think that they picked up somebody who's too good and too valuable to be thrown into just that depth piece category. He was a top line player in Columbus, got an abundance of top line minutes, and also has experience as a center and a right winger. So you're looking at a guy who has played on the top line because that's where he belongs. And on top of that is somebody who is malleable. He's somebody who can play multiple positions. He's someone who can be shuffled around, which is something the Rangers have been prone to do. And the other thing is Peter Laviolette is willing to go back and forth between stuff. He's not somebody that erratically changes something and, like, that's what happens and that's what we're moving with. You've been seeing a steady back and forth. It's been now more so Kako up top than VC more recently. But now with Roslovic coming in, Roslovic is now taken right wing on the first line. So now you're starting to get another look for this first line. You're hoping that can spark something so that they can be a little more productive besides something outside of a power play. Or as Nick Palmer calls Mika Zibanejad, a power play merchant.
He is.
But I really do think that this simple move for Roslovic really changes the perception, and I think will in the long run as well change the perception of how positive this Rangers deadline was.
Yeah, if you have a fantasy team, I would give picking up Roslovic a good go because he's playing on, you know, the top line, so why not?
I think that this Rangers deadline is just going to be judged on how they play against the teams that went all in at the deadline, like a Carolina that got a Gensel. Like,
right.
if they lost them on Tuesday night, justified or not, Rangers fans would have been apoplectic and say that we can't compete with these teams and just all that sort of nonsense, because Rangers fans are usually level-headed and don't overreact. Typically, they're New York fans. They're typically known.
I don't know. I mean, there were some pretty disrespectful things being said about Igor Shesterkin earlier in the season, but that was just Ranger Twitter. Ranger Twitter can
Ranger
be
Twitter
stupid.
Is a bad. Yeah, I mean, it's every Twitter is a bad.
Oh
Yankee
my gosh!
Twitter,
but Vegas getting like Hurdle and Mantha.
See
and
that
Hanabin.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, if there happens to be a situation where it's a Vegas Rangers Stanley Cup final and the Rangers get rinsed in like four or five games, that's what it's going to come down to. How far do the Rangers end up making
right.
it, and did they do enough? Because they could have had more than what they ended up settling
right.
for.
And
yeah.
the other
good point, Brian.
And the other thing is it was interesting hearing the discourse surrounding the Rangers deadline approach, because you had a large contingent of be conservative, just get depth pieces, don't sell our youth, don't sell Kako and Ottman and whoever else, you know, Berard, don't sell everybody. And then you had other people who said, we're a New York team in a New York market and have one cup in 84 years.
Yeah.
Sell the freaking arena if it means get somebody who's going to take us to a Stanley Cup.
Reminds me of George.
Yeah.
Reminds me of George.
But I guess, you know, the most important hockey has yet to be played, and this is going to be an exciting stretch because they got Tampa Bay tonight at 7 on the road in Tampa, followed by a road game in Pittsburgh on Saturday, and then they got to turn around the very next day on Old St. Paddy's Day and battle the Islanders to prove that the Stadium Series wasn't a fluke. So, or wasn't a choke. Because
both words are interchangeable.
And then, but here's the thing, the Rangers.
One could say starting point.
Yes. And then.
Catalyst.
And then.
One could say, yes, catalyst.
Isn't that a good word?
Very
catalyst
good, Brian.
That's a really good word.
That's what I bring here.
You know, just, you bring the brains.
Exactly.
One smart guy. Yeah.
The flashpoint.
One could say inciting incident.
Wow.
I feel like inciting usually has like a negative connotation, though. It's like inciting a riot or.
Depends how you look at it.
Incite a revolution.
That's true. That's actually a really good point. Followed by the Islanders game on March 17th. They have to host the Winnipeg Jets, then go on the road and play the Bruins, then come back home and play the Panthers again, then host the Flyers, go on the road to the Avalanche. It's a gauntlet.
Both New York teams running a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Let's look at strength of schedule real quick. Hold on.
All right, and then we got to play your game because we need to get out of here.
Okay. Remaining schedule strength. The New York Rangers and New York Islanders actually have the 15th and 16th hardest schedules.
I want to see what the rest of the league looks like. It's probably Western Conference.
Yeah.
So Seattle has the easiest schedule, and the Kings have the second easiest schedule. Then St. Louis, Minnesota, and Calgary. So it's all West Coast that have the easiest schedules.
Okay.
On the East Coast, the playoff teams that have hard schedules, Boston has the third hardest schedule.
That's just what they need.
You play Florida twice, Carolina twice, the Flyers twice, the Rangers once, and the Panthers once.
Why?
The Preds.
They're going to get hot at the right time.
We'll see. That. Philly has a pretty tough schedule.
Good.
Colorado is a tough schedule.
I don't know if you said already, where is Detroit rank in there?
Detroit is in the top third of easiest schedules.
Okay.
They just play Florida once, the Rangers once, Carolina once, and the Leafs once.
Okay.
Maybe they can salvage their season because it's going straight down.
Yeah, it's going on a downward trend right now. Yeah. They got slapped by Buffalo the other
night. It's
going
nowhere fast.
This is good for the Canadians, though, because they need to tank really hard because they've been winning too many games. Are you taking a video of me?
No, I'm just holding my phone.
good eyes, though. Can't be too safe here.
No, I thought he was going like this to me, and I was like,
he really was. Yeah.
So does this conclude our Ranger talk?
I think it does.
I thought you were being me to Anders Lee, just like sticking.
Yeah, I got you. Nikki P.
Oh, is it game time?
What have you prepared for us? Yeah, we're coming down into the final minutes of the show.
All right. As an apology for how annoying I've been today, because even I can recognize
this has a chance to make up for everything.
Oh, no, I think it's really funny. But
okay. Three players.
Okay.
Currently on a local team. Okay. So I'm not going to tell you who it is. There's six clues. Okay. You're playing against each other.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a clue. You both give me your guess as to who it is. I'll tell you if either of you is right or wrong. If you're both wrong, we'll move to the second clue. They get easier as they go.
Okay.
I like this.
So they're starting harder.
They start harder.
They start hard and they get easier.
And they get easier as they go. Six clues total.
Okay.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. First player. This player scored his first NHL goal with 20 seconds remaining in an overtime 5-4 win versus the Capitals. The Ranger, Islander, or Devil?
Yes.
Currently.
Do I have to say a name?
Yeah. Just throw someone out. Who knows? Maybe you're right.
Scott Mayfield.
I don't even have the first clue. Are there any clues I can get besides that or no?
No, you just move on to the second clue.
Oh, is the second clue still about the same player?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes.
There's six on the same player.
Okay. So I didn't have to guess.
No.
I could have just asked. Okay.
But maybe you got him. If you guess,
maybe
you get him.
Next clue.
Okay. This player signed a 3-year entry level contract 2 days after getting eliminated from the Frozen Four following Michigan's loss to Quinnipiac.
Got nothing there.
Luke Hughes.
That's correct.
Whoa.
Yep.
Look at you.
Jack Warner on the second one.
I have a feeling I'm going to get rinsed in this
thing.
That
was crazy. I didn't expect that to happen.
Second clue. You didn't think so.
Fourth overall pick in the 2021 NHL draft. He had 2 assists in his playoff debut against the Carolina Hurricanes in game 3. He has 2 brothers in the NHL.
I used to live out in Michigan, so I root for Michigan. I follow Michigan hockey to a certain extent, especially when they went on that Frozen Four run. So Luke Hughes was somebody that meant a lot to all of us.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah.
Okay, very nice. Next player. This player has played for 2 New York teams.
Jimmy Vesey.
I was thinking I didn't want to.
Not correct.
That would have been too easy.
It would have been too easy.
I don't have a guess.
Because he had a stint with the Islanders, right?
Yes.
And the Sabres.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't have a guess.
Does two New York teams include? Does Buffalo count as a New York team?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Why not? It's in New
Come
York.
Come on.
Okay. I said New York. I didn't.
No, because that does like broaden things.
This New York, player has New played, York market
this,
here.
This player has played for 2 New York teams.
I said New York. I didn't say
okay.
New Whatever. York give the next clue.
Wait.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, wait, but I
you
gave,
used
I gave
your
a
guess.
I
Brian,
gave a guess.
Do you want to throw anyone out there?
I got okay. none.
He got his first NHL assist against the team he plays for now.
That is like crazy
yeah,
big.
That's yeah.
Should we move on?
I'm just trying to think of dual New York hockey players. Okay, next. Okay. Brian, if you have nothing.
This could be a telling one.
Okay. Ooh.
Despite being on the roster for the stadium series, they did not make it on the ice.
Hmm.
There were 4 stadium series games. Sorry, 2 stadium series games.
There were.
4 teams.
So, believe it or not, he could be a Ranger, Islander, or Devil.
He could be a Flyer for all we know. And maybe he was on
but
2
that,
New York
But that
teams.
Wouldn't fit your criteria.
Oh, that is true.
See, but he could be a Devil. I got you there, and yeah. I still had nothing for you.
Right.
I'm going to let Jack ponder this one as he is in deep introspection there.
Oh, my God.
It's killing him. It is killing him. He's thinking of something. But he's just sitting there with a
I have a feeling it's a Devil. I really do have a feeling it's a Devil.
Hmm. Hmm. As Nick Palmer sits there with a grin on his face.
I'm having so much fun.
He's like, you know what? I got him.
All right. I guess you have to give another one.
Okay. This player was drafted by the LA Kings in the 2013 draft, but was then traded to the Sabres before he could play a game.
Johnny Brodzinski.
No.
Oh, that's right. He played in the stadium series. I'm an idiot.
I still might need clue number 5.
This player's a right winger.
It's these types of games where I seem to struggle.
No, Brian, the 6th clue you'll get.
Will I get the 6th clue?
I'm almost convinced.
It's going to be a toss up. I hope so.
No, you don't want to guess anyone for any right winger on the Devils, Rangers, or Islanders.
It's the fear of being wrong.
Brendan Smith. No. He's not a right winger.
This player could start a really dangerous movement.
A really dangerous movement?
Yeah. Like this player's name could start a really dangerous movement.
What? Am I overthinking this here?
And many of our friends subscribe to this movement.
Oh, Hudson Fashion.
Oh! Ah.
He certainly could.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Drafted by the LA Kings.
I know nothing about Hudson Fashion.
Did not play in the stadium series.
All right.
That is poor guy. That is a Bridgeport Islander.
Got his first assist against the Islanders.
Wow. Yep.
Any more players?
Yeah, one more.
All right, let's one more.
This player has played for 5 different teams.
Whoa.
Okay.
And shoots left-handed.
Huh. Okay. Ooh, he's recounting this here. Left-hander. Think like Robbie Cano. Somebody.
What was the team criteria again?
Played for 5 different
teams. 5 of them.
No. For who it could possibly be. It can only be Rangers.
Ranger, Islander, or Devil. Okay, or correct. No, wait. Ranger, Islander, Devil, Saber?
No. Okay. That was just the clue.
Tri-state. Tri-state.
That was just the fashion
clue. 5 teams. Left-handed shot. I'll take the next clue.
Okay. His dad played for the Blues, and his brother was drafted by the Leafs in 2014.
Nothing over here.
His dad played
Believe
for
it or not,
Blues.
I got nothing.
Does his brother currently play for the Maple Leafs or no?
I don't know how much he wants to give away here. He's going to look. He's gonna give you a clarifying answer. He waits a second.
Brian, I appreciate
he's in the minors right now.
He's in the minors, okay, so that doesn't help. Oh, wait.
Oh.
No, that you said his dad, not his brother. You said his dad, not his brother. His dad.
Who were you thinking of?
A player who's played for several teams and has been in New Jersey. And had a brother that played for the Blues was PK Subban.
Yeah.
But that's not that. His brother was in the Blues system. We watched his brother.
We certainly did. He's not very good.
All right. I guess next clue.
He's now in the Islanders system, actually, but that's not a clue.
He
is.
Yeah.
His brother.
Yeah. Subban got traded.
Yes.
Who?
Oh, are you talking about Malcolm Subban?
No, I'm talking about this guy.
Oh, this guy's in the Islanders system.
This guy's brother. Is in the Islanders system.
Oh, okay.
So not on the Leafs, but drafted by the Leafs. Anyway.
Okay.
This player won a gold medal for the U.S. junior team in 2013.
2013 is a
long
time ago.
That's a while ago.
It's 10 to 11 years ago.
My
memory doesn't run that far back.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm going to be upset when I don't guess who this is.
Another tough one.
I guess I need another clue. Okay.
This is the second time this player has been on this team.
Little second stint action.
Second stint action. Came back.
Wow.
Needed some more.
Couldn't get enough. He was just looking for that itch again. I got nothing.
Shoots left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Has played for 5 teams.
Yeah. His dad played for the Blues. Brother drafted by the Leafs. Plays in the Islanders org right now. He won a gold medal for the U.S. junior team in 2013.
Uh-huh.
And it's the second time he's been on this team. And he's a left winger.
Left winger, left-handed, second timer. With the current team.
Gold medalist.
Oh. This guy's
prodigy.
Had a heck of a career.
What's it called?
What other word could you be looking for?
NHL Nepo Baby.
Okay.
NHL Nepo Baby.
NHL Nepo Baby is crazy.
I don't know. Legacy.
I guess we're
sure.
I guess we'll go to the next clue.
Okay. This player's 30 years old. And he sucks. He's the worst player on the team.
Oh.
In my opinion.
Mika Zibanejad.
Even though he might not actually be the worst player on the team.
Is it Jimmy VC?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Technically, I think I win 2-1 there.
Brian wins, actually.
Because I got Hudson Fashing
and
Jimmy Vesey.
Yeah, and BC.
Oh, man.
So Brian knows more puck than Jack Warner.
I think that's the criteria.
That's the title of the episode.
Oh, my God. He looks dead inside.
Brian knows more puck than Jack Warner.
He can't even look at you. He's like, why did I waste my life playing
that
game?
Can you say how you feel into the mic?
This is a safe space.
A win is a win. But, like, both the players that he got were bits. They were running bits.
But you should have gotten them first.
You should have gotten them first.
I know. No, that was actually really funny. Well, I mean, does that mean you're coming back?
Oh, I think I have to come back. I have to defend my title.
He has to defend his title.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I'll make him easier next time.
Same time next week.
Whatever feeds to bring in Brian back to this show, I'm all for it. So.
I'm never leaving.
I'm not leaving.
I won't ever leave.
I'm not leaving. Wow.
What an episode.
Well, we are actually leaving.
Yeah, we are actually leaving. Sadly. I have to go blow my brains. I mean, I have to go to class. Any last words from you folks? Brian, how was your – just reflect on your debut slightly.
I'm a winner at the end of the day.
He's a winner at the end of the day.
And you know what? This episode proved that. I'm glad I could reflect some of that onto the airwaves here on 5-on-3. And you got a new member – of the permanent recasting character, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We found a guy that may cause other people to lose their jobs.
I'm a bottom six guy.
Yeah, he's a bottom six guy, but you might cause some people to lose their jobs. Anyway,
you know, this podcast is the most like a sitcom that we have here.
Yeah.
At WFEV, like we actually have like we have recurring jokes and like recurring bits. Like this is actually the best podcast that WFEV has, and I'm not even kidding.
Yep.
So that's why you should keep listening to it.
Yep.
Because it is the best podcast.
It is.
I agree.
Well, on that note, make sure to tune in to as much hockey as you possibly can throughout the next week. And until then, I am Jack Warner on behalf of Brian Raybacks and Nick Palmer. This has been another installment of 5-on-3.
My pants are on.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.